Brian Noonan in for Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantes. We are here till 7 o'clock tonight. Bob Fioretti, the former Second Ward Alderman and mayoral candidate, is joined me in studio. Released a statement today urging Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle to drop out of the mayor's race due to the fact that the alleged shakedown campaign money that Ed Burke is accused of getting from the restaurateurs was used in Tony Preckwinkle's campaign to run against Bob for the Cook County Board presidential primary in last year. So, Bob is here. Welcome. Glad you're here.
Good to be here. Thank you, Brian.
So, this is, do I have it right? Is that, you know, this money allegedly was that was given to Tony Preckwinkle's campaign obviously was used. She was running against you in the primary for Cook County Board president. So, you're saying this is tainted money. We gotta pull the plug here.
I think that was one part of it. I think if we look at what her whole career has been, it doesn't end with me and the money that she allegedly that Ed Burke allegedly extorted here. It really goes on that Tony Preckwinkle has raised thousands of dollars from city vendors, from county vendors. And she's yet to answer why her security detail had campaign literature in a car that crashed. There's a lot of things that she is yet to answer to the public, and it raises serious questions on why she's running for mayor.
So, but this particular issue is a little more, you have a little more skin in the game on this one.
I'd say so, much more than anybody else. We wondered where all the money was starting to come from for her at the end of the campaign. I think the polls were accurate. They showed us almost neck and neck. But, of course, people really did not vote for the county board president. The turnout was about 21%, as a matter of fact.
Now, some people are going to say, and I'll ask this too, in the whole scheme of things, we know campaigns are very, very expensive ventures. Is $5,600 or $10,000, depending on whether all the money was actually given back, is that enough to tip an election?
Yes, it could be, but there was a lot more that we raised as issues during the campaign of what she had not reported, did report. I'm asking also, not only should she withdraw from the race, but a full accounting of her campaign expenditures and income that she received. I mean, who and how did this money go into the campaign and how did it go out? It should have been reported. It should have been a check out there. We don't see any of that.
So who is responsible for overseeing this? This seems to be an issue in every election, statewide, local, it doesn't matter. Where does the buck stop with somebody actually overseeing this?
Well, the problem is the State Board of Elections are very loose in terms of what they do. They really don't educate. They don't tell people what to do. I think we also need campaign finance reform. That's another subject, Bo. I think if we would have had term limits here in this case, this matter, Ed Burke probably would never have been indicted. He would have been long gone 40 years
sure.
ago.
50 years is a long time for somebody to serve.
Yes, it is. And
Kim Gordon in the newsroom has a question for you, Bob.
Okay.
Alderman, earlier today you said that the entire city council has enabled this corruption behavior and that things need to change. How do you think the system needs to change?
Well, first of all, I do believe term limits. I also believe that we should have campaign finance reform, as I've said, but we need a smaller city council. We need a city council that doesn't have, we're really one of the few cities in the country that have a political streets and sand by ward. We're also one of the few cities in the country that require an absurd amount of signatures to get on the ballot. I believe New York for mayor is about 7,000. I believe LA is down to 500. So it's a lot different at that point. I think committee meetings ought to be, all committee meetings should be televised. And if there's not a quorum, which is probably about more often than not, the chairman of the committee ought to call a quorum call and end the meeting until the next time. I think we need alderman and a mayor that listens to the people and not taxing them out, but inviting them in. And one of the ways I was recently, I have not been to a city council meeting until the budget, December 12th meeting, where Ram told us about his pension plan. And I was surprised that when the comment section started, and people fought, they went to court for that. They got 30 minutes of allowing the people of this city to give their own comments on it. When they got up there, the mayor walked out of the room, and about a third of the aldermen walked out of the room, and most of the rest of them were then on the their cell phones. I think it's time to start listening to the people of this city.
All right, Alderman, let's stick with this Kim's original question of kind of this is the culture, because many people, myself included, will think, you know, we'll hear about some of the allegations against Alderman Burke, we'll go, well, we just assume that's how City Hall works. And you, in fact, back in the day, were drawn out of your old ward. Today, one of your opponents for mayor, Paul Vallis, was on the Chicago Way podcast with John Cass. And he said that there is a culture of a code of silence, much like we think of, you know, the allegations against the police force. But he says there's a code of silence in City Hall as well, where, you know, we know shady things are happening, but we kind of turn our backs. What would you say to that?
I don't know if it's I know the code didn't exist with me, because I introduced resolutions and ordinances to open up city government, and yes, it was closed down. A code of silence is hard to press, because some of the and I'll call them progressive aldermen, whatever that term means, but sure. Those that want an open government and a transparent government and a government that's accountable have been fighting for this. Taking away the workman's comp away from the finance committee is one way to do that. We're $100 million that the Ed Burke at that time controlled in terms of workman's comp. Most cities of comparable size has maybe $20 million. Something's wrong here. Right. And it was quiet that we can't get into it, and even us as aldermen. The way of doing business has to end here in the city of Chicago.
And does that come from the top down? So is that one of the things, if you're elected mayor, is that one of the things that you're pushing?
I've always said that ethics starts from the top. And we need to do what to open up government, to be transparent for government and be accountable for government for the people. And it does start from the top.
So yes. How does that whole culture change? Because Chicago is ingrained in one way of doing things. You know, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a quick change. So how would you on day one start to bring that change about?
Well, I hate to say sometimes a good question, but yes, it is a good question. Like I said, as I started off, we need structural changes, mm-hmm. not cosmetic changes. We need term limits. We need a smaller city council. We need town hall meetings on the budget. Even Rich Daley had town hall meetings on the budget. Rama's first year had some town hall meetings, and he stopped. We need to go into the wards. If I am mayor, I'll have town hall meetings on the budget in every part of the city, but I'll also have ward night. I'll go to the wards, the various wards, to listen to the people. And that's, I think, the only way that we can make structural changes and not cosmetic changes.
All right. Let's go back to your statement today, urging Toni Preckwinkle to drop out because of her alleged ties with the campaign donations. You're saying she's refusing to release the correspondence between her campaign and the contributor who was allegedly shaken down by Ed Burke. Is any other than you, have authorities asked her to release these, or are you just saying this would be the good thing to do if you want to clear up any confusion, you should go ahead and release these?
Well, I think to clear up any confusion, yes, but more importantly, I think there's a lot more questions to be asked of the county board chair. Here she is, also chairman of the Democratic Party, and we've heard the term power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that's what's going to happen if she was elected at this point.
For people who are not on the inside of a political campaign, lots been made that the candidates don't know about contributions. I don't necessarily believe that to be true. I think, and maybe you can answer this, candidates, you might not be told every name, but if big contributions are coming in, are the candidates told about these contributions?
Well, in my case, yes. When I was the alderman, I never took contributions from developers.
Okay.
I think that should be across the board for all aldermen. They shouldn't be, because they have to influence the decision
right.
of what the developer is. And you see it often either 2 years before the developer or 2 years after. They should not be taking it, at least at a minimum. At the same time, people don't have to go begging. I have heard it over and over during the course of this campaign in various wards. People have not, businesses have not been able to get things done, and they have asked me, should I give the alderman a contribution? I say no, nothing.
But that's, again, we go back to what I said earlier. That's
for the way years, of doing business.
That's the way you do business.
Yes.
That's how things get done. And yes,
well,
maybe we're naive.
It's an additional tax then.
Yes.
On all of a sudden, if you have
right.
to get for a sidewalk permit or a restaurant, outdoor restaurant permit or a sign or something, and you've got to give a contribution to your alderman,
right.
that is a tax
sure.
on that business. And that's what's driving people away.
So who makes those changes? Who is it? The State Board of Elections? Is it citywide? Is it who's going to make that change to say, all right, because that makes sense. You can't, if you're running for a city office, you can't take a contribution
it would
from
start
a developer.
It would start with the mayor pushing it and, again, pushing term limits. And I think term limits are a number one priority with the people
yeah.
and cutting down the size of the city council and taking away all this administrative issues when they should be focusing on legislative issues.
Yeah. And now, before I let you go, you've got the election coming up. A lot of people in Chicago, we're worried about taxes. Every year, it seems we're getting more and more tax. We need taxes, obviously, to pay for everything, but where do we draw the line? Where will you draw the line?
Well, first of all, I am my first term as mayor, there will be no increase on property taxes. And that's what's driving people
yes.
out. And at the same time, it's keeping a depressed value on homes and businesses here. That's where we have to look. I'm going to look at the red light cameras, speed cameras, to phase them out.
Good, because Let's be honest. That's not about safety.
No, it's all
about
the money.
Safety,
and
no.
the Department of Transportation keeps beating their chest saying, oh,
yes.
it's all about safety. No, we know it's not. You know, we have a budget here. We need whoever's elected. And I got into this race because of this. They were not talking about the real issues on crime, education, and the pension payment. Whoever gets elected and sworn in on May 15th, by September 1st, has to find $400 million new dollars to go into the pension fund. And yes, there is some, raised a lot of ways that we can bring that money to the forefront.
Give me a couple examples.
You know, I think we should look at sports gaming. We should look at video. And at the same time, a commuter tax, those that live in Indiana, Wisconsin, and the suburbs, if they pay 1% as they come into the city on their employment, and it's an issue of fairness.
Aren't you going to get a pushback, though, from employers in the city? Or are you going to say, listen, we have to draw from all over the area to get our workers, and if they, you know, it's going to cost us more if we have to cover that. Somebody's going to have to
pay. No, they wouldn't
the
be paying it.
Well,
see,
they may have to pay it in increased salaries if people aren't going to come in.
No, you know, because you can write it off through your federal income taxes. So it's really a pass-through,
yeah.
Which is good. And at the same time, you know, people want safe streets. They
sure.
want good sidewalks. They want, if something happens to them on the street, they want to be immediate medical right. attention. The cost of violence in this city, just the immediate medical care last year for the shootings that occurred on our streets cost the taxpayers of this city and some in the county $165 million for the first 30 minutes of treatment. We've got to cut down on the violence,
yeah.
and there are ways to do that by hiring people in this city.
So give me, as we let you go, because that's a huge, huge issue for everybody, give me one of the ways to cut down on the violence. Hiring people in the city, in what way?
Well, I think you can, we do have the possibility. I brought 8,000 jobs to my ward. I was the only alderman ever to close a food desert. I found ways that those 8,000 that they would hire from the neighborhoods. I had the most diverse ward in the city of Chicago when I was elected. It was 75% African-American. I was the first white individual since 1915 in that ward. I made sure we had community benefits agreements and people hired at a good living wage at those jobs. I brought in a Pete's as I closed the food desert, a Costco, a Target, a police station that I had to argue with. I had to argue with the governor's office after over the Costco because they were about ready to close the project down. You know, those are things that we need to do and look for jobs for our citizens of this city. And we also had training programs for them. They went to Dawson, 18-week training. They got trained in the specialty that they were hired for. I had job fairs for veterans during the year, my regular constituents, and ex-offenders. And I said to people that came to these job fairs, not the people that, that needed the jobs, but at the same time, the vendors, you're not here for a beauty contest. Right. You're here to hire people.
Now, so, if one ward can do that, we should be able to do it all over the city.
We should.
We should. So
and that's why when I'm mayor, we will do it all over the city.
BobForChicago.com is your website. People can go there, get all your all the information on you, where you stand on all the issues. And again, they can read the press release where you are calling, urging Tony Preckwinkle to drop out of the mayor's
and follow race. Me on Facebook and Twitter.
Same Bob for Chicago?
It's Bob Fioretti.
Bob Fioretti.
Yes.
All right, Facebook, Twitter, all you got to be on all the channels, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, well, it was a pleasure having you here. Thanks very much. Let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at 4?
Brian, the Weather Channel app on your phone may do more than just give you the forecast.